Welcome to Just Markets Podcast 365. My name is Shea, and today is April 18th, 2019. I hope you guys are having a wonderful week. And this week, we've had a lot of information come out about the markets, earnings, and economic data here in the U.S. and China. So I'm going to talk about a lot of that, but briefly, I believe that the Chinese data that came out, the growth rate, is questionable, and I'll talk more about that later. I'll talk about the earnings numbers, you know, on how mixed they are, and they're coming as expected, but you know, we'll get into more in detail later as well. And then lastly, we'll talk about the economic indicators and the mix there. The numbers are everywhere, they're showing sign of subdued growth, and seems like we're going to grow sub 2% this year, based on everything that we see today and right now, right? So things can change quickly in our world, but so far, that's kind of what we see. Now, I want you to remember this as we're talking about all the things we're going to talk about, that currently the stock market, the businesses, and the economy is going through a strong dollar trend, a weakness in overseas economic growth. We have trade tensions with multiple countries. We have a fiscal stimulus that's really drying up now, right? And we have political issues where Congress is fighting with the administration. We have a lot of different reasons why there is lack of confidence probably in the economy. So there's a lot of headline risk of why you're seeing things happen a certain way. And so just keep that in mind as we're talking about everything else, right? So just to put things in perspective for you guys.
Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.
In our world, but so far, that's kind of what we see. I'm also going to apologize again. I'm still under the weather. I'm fighting a cold and I'm coughing and sneezing and doing a lot of different things. So I'm going to apologize if my voice as well sounds a little different. We have had earnings so far reported in the S&P 500, and FactSet has reported that about 15% of the companies that have reported earnings in the S&P 500, majority of them have beat estimates on the earnings side. So we've had, initially before we got into the earnings season, we are estimating a decline in earnings about 3.9%. So an earnings recession, we are actually just at that point, and the financials are really the ones that are leading the way, where you had JP Morgan and Bank of America and Morgan Stanley that are really doing well on the earnings side. You know, Bank of America really didn't show that much improvement on the revenue side, but on the earnings side they did, right? So financials are really leading the way right now for earnings improvement. And revenue as a whole in those companies that have reported, generally speaking, in the S&P 500 are coming in around 4.9 and 5% increase. So, you know, surprisingly so far, we're seeing revenue and earnings coming in as expected, which is good news. This time last week, earnings were coming in worse than expected. Right now, they're back to where we expected them to come in. So that's why you haven't seen a lot of movement here in the market. There's, you know, this week is already pretty low volume week because of the holiday, but you know this market hasn't gone anywhere since last week, right? So that's what we're seeing right now so far. You know, one of the major economic developments this week we had was China's growth. It grew at 6.4% at an annual rate, which was slightly better than expected, above their target number they've had of 6%. I do not ever believe what the government releases as their growth rate because, in my experience over the years and, you know, over a decade of experience, you know, learning on how the Chinese, you know, conjure up the numbers, I don't ever believe them. I have to look at other data to understand better on where they're at in growth. I suspect they're not growing anywhere near the 6.4% growth that they're reporting. Now, they've done a lot of stimulus and they've done a lot of forceful, you know, investments into their country and the economy, and that's why you're seeing improvement there. But I just don't see it happening at this rate right now. It's just I just don't think, especially with all the debt they have on all different levels. You have to understand something about China. If you think about the Chinese economy and the Chinese government, it is just like it's run like a government. It's run just like a company, right? They have a board of governors, just like your board members in a company, in a public company, and you have a chairman. They have a chairman, and that chairman is Xi Jinping, and now he's there indefinitely. He has all the power to make all the decisions that need to be made about the economy, politically, and all the laws as well, right? So that's what you have with China. So they can do whatever they want at any point in time, and that also means the benefit is they can get done fast, but it also leaves them with risk, right? With significant risk of making a bad move. So far, they haven't. They've done a good job so far. But, you know, you have to look at the Chinese economy, the country as a whole, in a different light, the way you look at the U.S. Now, I'm not saying that it's a better system. I'm just saying that it's different. All right, let's talk about some of the economic indicators. Now, one of those indicators that we'll talk about today is the March industrial production number that came out yesterday. It reported a number of negative 0.1%, which is a decline in industrial production from February. Now, this number is compiled by the Fed, and it measures volume of goods produced, and it measures that in units, not in price. It doesn't account for price. So whether you're producing an airplane or a widget, it just depends on volume and units produced, right? So that's a really good way to look at, or at least another way to look at industrial production in volume terms. Now, the market tends to be pretty sensitive to this most of the time, but right now I'm seeing is very, you know, the sensitivity is very mild, if you will. Now, a lot of you may be wondering, why do we keep talking about so many manufacturing indicators and not as much as services indicators? That's because manufacturing is very sensitive to changing economic trends because they change from month to month. They're really highly dependent on supply and demand, inventories, everything else that goes into manufacturing, production, inventory, natural resources, all that stuff is very sensitive to economic trends. Now, those trends could be positive or negative. So that's why we always look at these numbers. Now, we know that the services sector is 70% of the economy and manufacturing is 25 and 30% of the economy, right? We know that. But it is a small part of the economy, but it is definitely more sensitive. So I'm trying to drive that point home. Now, the next data point we want to discuss is capacity utilization for March. Now, this number is related to industrial production, but we do break that out, right? So that number came in at 78.8%. Now, what does that mean, right? So capacity utilization is a measure of at what capacities are the factories in the U.S. running? At what capacity are the factories in the U.S. running, right? So if you're producing 100 widgets a month, that's your capacity, right? That's your capacity to produce 100 widgets a month. So based on this number, you're only producing between 78 or 79 widgets a month. So you're not at full capacity. You're not really producing as much as you can. Now, this was a drop from last month, which was February, and that was at 79. Now, the next indicator that we're going to look at is the Home Builder Index for April. The number came in at about 63. Now, what does this mean? So a zero index number would mean that the conditions are very poor. The 100 number would mean that the conditions are awesome and they're great. The 50, if the index came in at 50, it would be just right in the middle, like, you know, medium drink versus large or small. So what this data point is showing is that the housing data is not great, it's not poor, but it's slightly better than middle of the road. So it's not great, it's okay. Now, I want to continue on to talk about a couple more economic indicators, and one of those is the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Manufacturing Index, which declined to 8.5 in April from 13.7 in March. Now, what this number means is that if you have a number above zero, that means that the conditions in this sector, in this case manufacturing, is improving. And the higher the number, the more improvement you have, right? So a decline from 13.7 in March to 8.5 means that the improvement has gone down in the manufacturing index. So you're seeing a little bit of weakness in growth in manufacturing in April from March. Now, this number was as high as 32 about mid last year. So you're seeing a major, major decline from those numbers. So we're, you know, the GDP number, all those things that we have been seeing, the manufacturing data, everything we've been seeing, we have been seeing a little bit of weakness in manufacturing, and that's what this indicator is also showing. Now, the last economic indicator I want to talk about today is the leading economic index. Now, in our first episode on April 1st, I definitely talked a lot about leading indicators and what kind of indicators go into, so I won't get into too much in this today, but that index showed in March that it improved 0.4, right? So it's increasing, it's getting better. That means that the economy is still growing, and that's better than what was it was in February, which was at 0.1, right? So the economic index shows, this leading indicator shows that the economy is improving. Now, a lot of that has to do with the improvement in the stock market. We have had a pretty strong jobs numbers, job creation, and we've had very low layoffs that were attributed to even today from the weekly jobless claims that came in much better than expected. And of course, you have the rising stock market that we've had a pretty good run here in the first quarter. So that's what you're seeing here is that the leading economic indicators improving from February to March, but we want to see this to continue here. Now, overall data, all the data that we're seeing so far, it's showing that we have part of the economy, the 25-30% of part of the economy, the manufacturing sector, is definitely having some issues, right? There's no two ways about it. You know, I can spin it any way I want to, but I'm going to tell you the way it is. And the reality is that we are seeing some weakness here and the risk of a recession is rising. I don't think we are at, if I take the analogy of, you know, of a traffic light and you take green, yellow, and red, red meaning recession, green meaning no risk of recession, I would say we're at yellow right now and we just got to yellow. So we're in the first 1 or 2 seconds of the yellow right now. So the longer it stays in this area, the higher risk we have for a recession. And I think we just got to the yellow. So let's see on how long it stays. Does it go back to the green or do we go to red, right? That's the next question we have to ask. So what will drive us in that direction? It's going to be headline risk, right? If we're going to have additional tariffs, are we going to take more uncertainty into the market, in the stock marketplace, in businesses, right? Businesses don't want to invest funds if they feel there's additional risk that they don't have control over. So are we going to do that? Are we going to have continued trade tensions with Europe, with Mexico, with China, right? So and as we have all this fiscal stimulus that's now going away from the tax cuts, and you also have, you know, the monetary tightening that's already happened. Now we're on pause there. Even though rates are low, we've had some tightening. So we have all these overhangs that's causing the slowdown. And any major headline risk that takes away certainty out of the marketplace, that creates more uncertainty in the marketplace, that's going to be a major issue for the stock market and for the economy as a whole. And that's something we have to look at. Well, all right. This concludes our today's podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcast and follow and subscribe. If you have any questions, you can email us at justmarkets365@gmail.com. That's justmarkets365@gmail.com. Until next time, take care.